Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My American.
I've been tracking Sasquatches for 25 years.
My American.
Global awakening to the new world order.
My American.
Artificial intelligence. Android.
My American.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yes, sir.
Extraterrestrial.
You're listening to Pardon My American.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you.
Hope everybody had a swell weekend, an amazing weekend.
Yeah, I had fun. I went and watched Supercross on Saturday.
I heard, man. I had a long weekend, but I heard you got to go do that.
Yeah, it was fucking jealous. Sick.
Was it awesome?
It was.
In Dallas?
In Arlington.
How cool is that stadium?
The stadium is insane.
Listen.
It's huge.
You know what's funny is we went, and you're talking about AT&T Stadium,
yep.
Right? Cowboys, a lot of Cowboy haters, I get it. But I'm saying we got to go tour that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We just took the kids, and it's huge, man.
It's pretty big, yeah.
Like, when you're sitting in there, you're just like, this feels weird
how big it is. And it was pretty crazy, because it was almost sold out.
That's dope as hell, though, dude.
Like, the only seats left were the very fucking nosebleeds.
The bleeders.
Like the very top row was half full.
That's pretty dope, though. Dude, that's a cool place. I'm jealous that you got to go do
that. It was fun. Good racing.
Yeah.
Huge, like, championship upsets happened.
That's good.
So, it was pretty intense.
Listen, you're obviously really into it. You grew up with it.
Yeah.
You've done it. And I have this, like, respect for it. I don't know that much about it. And I grew up with more, like, the NASCAR, the local small track racing. That's what my family did, was, like, small track stuff. And I love racing. I think racing is amazing. It's an amazing sport in general. But I think I would have so much fun seeing that in person.
It was cool. One thing really did bug me was we had a hell of a fucking time trying to find our seats.
Oh, it's... yeah, I can
see
that.
So we were on the third level. And where our seats were, you had to go up above it and then over and then come back down halfway.
Oh.
So, and I was, we were so fucking confused on where we were supposed to be going. Like, we went up and we're like, okay, we just come out here and we can go down and it'll be fine. Nope, can't get that way. So we went down, apparently the wrong staircase that went past that level.
Okay.
And then we're like, oh, we're level two, we're like a half a level too low.
Yeah, see, we never went to an event there, so I never had, you know, seats or anything like that. We took the tour, you know?
Yeah.
But I even know, like, Seattle Seahawks, when we went to that stadium, just stadiums in general. What's that, CenturyLink, or they change it? They always change that shit. But it was a little complicated. It wasn't like the NBA shit where you're like, 318, row L, and you're like, oh, there's the big sign, 318. You're like, okay, it's right there. Dude.
Yeah, or you know, like easy. Back in the day when the Kingdom was around. Super fucking easy to find your way around.
The Kingdom, though. That's cool, man. That's cool.
It was fun. We haven't got... It's been like 13 years since I went to a Supercross race.
That's pretty cool, though.
It was fun.
Yeah, especially at that stadium. That's probably got a lot of energy.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's cool, man.
You could, when the crowd would go wild, you could feel it. Like, the rumble of the crowd would hit you. It was pretty sick.
I wish all the events like that for motocross was the same way. You know what I mean?
I think most of them are pretty...
Pretty good size?
Pretty good size, yeah. I mean, they're all in stadiums, so I mean...
That's true. But I've seen it on TV where you look and you're like...
Some are more scarce than others.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think this year, so far, there have been mostly, like, a lot of people showing up.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, listen, as you guys can tell, Greg is not here today. We want to wish his son a happy birthday.
Yeah.
It's his boy's birthday.
It's his boy's birthday.
Yep.
And
he's like, dude, I can't make it. And I'm like, why didn't you say that a couple days ago? You did. I can't keep up with all the birthdays. I don't even know your kids' birthdays off the top of my head. So he was like, dude, it's my boy's birthday. I'm going to go out and we're going to hang out and go to dinner and do all that stuff. And totally get it, man. Totally get it. So obviously we're here shooting the shit, having a good old day. Yeah, man, I dealt with that. I was telling you right before, I had a guy at work that had a knife. That was that was fun. Got me all amped up. I feel like I'm ready to go. But no. It wasn't like all. It wasn't like some. In the moment, it was a little like you can feel. I haven't been in that situation. I'll be honest with you. It was just like being in a situation where somebody's in front of you. Don't know if they're like going to do something weird.
Yeah,
that's where it was. It was new to me, and I was like, I felt that adrenaline, which I haven't really felt in a long time. But I got called up, and he was there. I walked up to him, and he had a knife in his hand, and he was on the phone. And he's tweaking for sure, dude. He was definitely tweaking. But yeah, the lady that was up front watching the front end, she called me up, and I could tell when she called me that it wasn't a normal, you know, hey, Dave, can you come up front real quick? And it was a, I need you up here. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, thinking it's some customer. And he was just kind of like on the phone, having this fucking big old blade out. And it was like, it was a little, I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, put the knife away. What are you doing, man? Yeah. He's like, oh, shit. I startled him. Because the lady was up there. She's kind of a short lady. And I don't know. Maybe it was unintentional. But on the video, I had to watch the video back. And when I approach, he's, you know, hey, bro. Like, I'm so sorry, dude. You know, he's doing this. And he's just tweaking. His eyes are fucking huge. And he wouldn't leave. And I was like, dude, you got to fucking leave. You got to leave. I'm calling the cops. You got to leave. Like, what are you doing? There's kids around. You're just fucking swinging this blade around. And I know it's not like he wasn't threatening anybody, to be fair. Yeah. But you never know. You just don't know. Like, people are nuts, dude. And I didn't want him to
especially,
do something.
Especially when you can visibly notice that they're on something.
He was on something.
And he took. You never know how they're going to react to anything.
No. And it was weird because I know my boss is going to watch the cameras. I had to send a bunch of shit over to corporate and all kinds of stuff because the police had to come. But it was weird because he put the knife away and you can see he's just wide-eyed as shit, dude. And he's just, dude, I'm so sorry, man. I'm fucking so sorry, dude. Like that. And he reaches his hand out. Right? Like, you want to shake my hand. And I remember, like, in the moment, I'm thinking, like, I'm trying to de-escalate this. You know what I'm saying? So I reached out and I grabbed his hand. And I just squeezed it so hard. I remember squeezing it really, really hard. I'm like, you've got to go. Like, you got to fucking go. Because he would not leave, man. So he went outside. He finally goes outside. He said, I'm just trying to get a job. I'm just trying to get a job. What's crazy? This dude actually.
That's not how you do it.
Yeah. He was like,
you
I'm
don't
just.
Show up high for one.
Yeah.
And swinging a knife around.
Dude. It's just
and
a
this
weird
man,
situation.
I'm just looking for a job, bro.
So you got to understand, I didn't know any of the situation. Okay. I got called up and I showed up for that situation.
Oh, you didn't know he was looking for a job.
I didn't know anything about him. But what I found was that he was there for a little while and he had talked about, he's like, I'm here to have an interview. Nobody was there to interview him. I don't know who he was, but then he like walks around the store and he's like talking. I found this out after that. He was talking to employees, asking for them to like transfer money, wire transfer money to get him an Uber ride. Like he was scheming on people, dude.
Oh yeah.
And, I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that at the time, but either way, as he's leaving, I'm like, dude, just open the door and fucking leave. Like I'm not, he's like, but I just need a job. I'm like, I don't care about your job. You know, it's not going to happen. Just fucking leave. So he goes outside, and we have this gentleman that works with a big, tall dude, man, big guy. And he starts talking to him, and I have to go back. I have to walk outside. I'm like, dude, fucking leave. I was like, Javon, get away from this dude. Get the hell off our property, like this way. So we called the cops, and they, of course, were like, we can't really do anything. You know, like he didn't threaten you.
It's trespassing.
Well, that's where it's going to go to. But they were like, we don't know who he is. Do you have his birthday? I'm like, no. Like, no, I don't.
Why would you have his birthday?
Well, because to be fair, this guy's an idiot and he wrote down his name and phone number because he's trying to get a job. So he handed us a paper with. So I'm like, this is the man's name. This is his phone number. Can you at least like call him? You know what I mean? Like to figure out where he's at. Because I was more concerned that he was going to go to other businesses right around us and maybe cause trouble or something. They said they tried calling him. He didn't answer. They're like, if he comes back, call the police.
It probably wasn't his phone number.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't. I wasn't. I immediately did not feel intimidated by this guy. He was a big guy, but I felt bad because the people around were scared. You know what I mean? That's a nice crack, dude.
Yeah.
But the people around were scared. And there were kids around, and I'm sure that there were some people that maybe panicking a little bit. It's just because now look at the news. I mean, you never know who's going to do something stupid, man.
Yeah.
But he left. The one thing I told the cops, I was like, listen, the only thing I'm worried about is he's going to come back. And they're like, well, why? And I was like, because he left this bag. And he left this plastic bag.
Do you look in it?
Yeah, it was filled with toy cars. Like a Spider-Man stuffy, and toy cars. I'm like, this is his bag. And they're like, that's his bag? I'm like,
like they were just like regular, you know, just grabbed a handful of shit out of a toy box?
No, you know those cheap ass cars that like you can pull back and they take off?
See,
like, you know, they're this big?
Yeah,
there was like five of them and a little stuffed Spider-Man with a Walgreens, because we have a Walgreens right by us, with a Walgreens receipt. He just went and bought like the shittiest toys. I have no idea. He's
probably buying stuff for his kids, bro.
That might be the case.
And forgot them at the store.
That might be the case.
If he has kids, I don't know.
I'm not gonna, you know.
Or maybe he was tripping out and thought he had kids.
This was him right here. I'm not gonna show the crowd. See, it's a pretty good sized blade, dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sized blade. And he was just,
that's no knife.
So, you know, immediately after that I calmed down because I knew that this guy was probably didn't mean, I'm gonna say he maybe wasn't planning on like trying to rob anybody or anything, but it just was dumb, and it kind of got everybody's adrenaline going, and then there's that. So I feel hyped right now. I'm a little, like, ready to go, you know? I'm like, fuck, I haven't been in a fight. Let's do this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's kind of how I felt after that fucking Target shooting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That was probably, that's way more scary, dude.
Well, I wasn't directly involved in it.
Yeah, but you heard it.
It was nearby.
You heard, like, it though, right?
Yeah, everyone ran out of the building. Like, yeah. There was bullet holes in the Target windows.
Yeah. That was when we were in Austin. You were that was north in
Hutto. We were in Pflugerville.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
And we were just, I don't even, we just were wasting time in Target. And I didn't realize anything was happening at first because I didn't hear the gunshots, like the first whatever happened. And then I see people like walking very briskly past us out the back,
like in tandem,
out the back exit. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And people are just like ditching their carts, and I'm like, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah.
And then finally one of the workers came walking past us, and they said armed person outside, or whatever they said, or active shooter.
That's what I remember, you told me that.
And then my wife was like, we have to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And then she started like panicking a little. So, and then we ditched our cart and we grabbed the kids and we went outside. And my very first thought is I'm not following any of these people.
Yeah.
Because if it is an active shooter, they're wanting a head count and I'm not following these people. So they all took off down this way to a hotel and I went the other way to a parking garage.
Yeah.
And then we circled around to the hotel afterwards.
I remember the same
kind of thing. Like, in the moment, I was actually very aware of what was going on. Yeah. But once we got to the hotel and we were like sitting there for a while, then it like, but I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, and I remember you called. I remember you called me.
Yeah.
Or I called you, one of the two, and you're like, hey, dude, we're at Target. There's an active shooter. And I was, you gotta go. And I was like, what the fuck? I told my wife, Jill, I was like, Chris and Ash are at a Target and there's an active shooter. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? It was scary, dude. It was for us. Yeah, we were like, and you got to remember, this was not too long after, if I'm not mistaken, this was not too long after the Allen, Texas shooting.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, there's, you know, you just seen this thing. And that was a really terrible shooting that happened. And so we were worried, and you called and said, like, I guess what they found out was that there was a shooting out in the parking lot.
Yeah, there was some altercation that happened.
Yeah, so it wasn't an active shooter.
Yeah, they weren't trying to, like, get a bunch of people, but there was, like, strays that went off into the windows. There was a couple. Yeah. Actually, the car right next to our car got hit with a bullet.
Oh, damn. Yeah. It's weird because, listen, I'm not a fighter. Yeah. I don't go around looking for fights. I'm not afraid to do that if that's what has to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I could probably do okay. You know what I mean? Like, I could, you know. But it's weird because, like, when you don't deal with that and you're not, like, at a bar dealing with a bunch of drunks and stuff, like, that particular moment when he had the knife and I saw him, I was like, I just was an immediate, like, ready to go. Yeah. Like, I was like, I could take this guy. I could fucking take this guy. Like, no problem. But it was quickly de-escalated because I realized that, you know, the way that he acted when it came up, and he, you know.
Yeah, it's very interesting to find out, like, how you naturally react in a situation like that. Like, something like that you've never actually been in before.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had fucking people shooting around me.
No, no.
So, I mean, to find out that I'm actually relatively level-headed in a situation like that, that's good to know.
It is. And listen, I'm not, you know, for my case, I'm not saying that it was the most, like, insane thing in the world. People have dealt with way worse. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but if someone's swinging around with a knife, there are people that might just be terrified and freak out.
Yeah, maybe, you know, sure.
Depending on the situation.
You know, but, and, like, knives are scary. That's one of the things I'm, like, hindsight afterwards. I wasn't freaked out, but I was just, like, my adrenaline was going. I was calling my boss. You know, because I closed the store up, and I just was calling her, and I was like, hey, this is what's going on. What do you want me to do? Like, right now. And she's like, what? And I told her, and I was like, fucking do with the knife, bro. This is standing up there, do with the knife, fucking, you know, got him out, we're good. Do you want me to call the cops? Because I didn't even call the cops at that point. I called her first, which was...
Oh, yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, listen, you got to remember, I worked in downtown Portland, right? Mm-hmm. My job, I dealt with crazy...
Crackhead.
Psychotic people. Yeah. Like, and I'm being serious. They were mentally unstable people. Like, crazy... So it's just... For me, it's not that weird to be around somebody that's like off their shit a little bit. And after he left, I was thinking like, well, the cops aren't going to do shit. He's gone. Like, what am I going to tell him? Like, yeah. And they even on the phone, they're like, do you want us to come out? And I'm like, I need you to come out for work. I have to have you to come out and give you the, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, they're not doing anything. They're not doing. He didn't say like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, nothing like that.
Yeah. But at the same time, like,
yeah
he was... relatively calm and just left. But I mean, especially with someone that's tweaking out on something.
I was worried about
if you would have came up, he might have fucking tweaked out further and been like, oh, fuck. Like, you never know.
You don't know. And like I said, luckily it was a situation where it was resolved. And like,
he might try to shank you or something.
You never know, dude. I was more worried about her, my worker.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that to be. I'm just saying.
So when you walked up, he was talking to someone already.
She was dealing with him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And just the position of where everything's at, like he was kind of blocking her in this area, and she's pretty new for
kind
us.
Of felt trapped a little bit.
I just could tell that she was very uncomfortable, like worried, a little bit, and rightfully. She's good, but I'm just saying, like, that kind of that shit happens. All I'm trying to say, I guess, is it's like you don't get those that often. You don't get that like that. I don't want to say fight or flight kind of thing, but it was a little bit of like my heart was racing. I was like, I don't, you know, this could go two ways. He could walk out, which is what he did, or he could get like freaked out and. What, you know, like, I don't know. And
yeah, it's a different kind of adrenaline rush.
Yeah, I was, like, trying to keep my distance. I was trying to keep her away. I'm like, dude, you got to go. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You got to go. And he's just like, no, man, I'm so sorry. I just need a job, bro. And I'm like, you ain't getting a job. You ain't getting a fucking job. Like, what are you... That's a terrible fucking interview, my friend.
That's the funniest thing.
Yeah, dude. And he just kept saying that as he's trying to walk. I'm like, dude, because he was going out the entry door. And I was like, you got to just pull the door open. Like, you got to just pull the door open and leave. I just need you to fucking get out of this store right now. Okay, you're freaking people out right now. He's like, bro, I'm supposed to have an interview. I'm like, nope. Like, it's me. No, you're not. I would be the one. And I don't know you. I don't know who you are. We don't have anything scheduled. Like, no, you're not. It's not happening. So it's just like, I don't know, man. It was an adrenaline rush. I kind of liked it. It was a little bit fun. It was like being on a roller coaster or something for a minute.
A little mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, you know? If that's the worst I got to deal with, that's fine, dude. It could have been. Some people have to deal with some really terrible shit, you know?
That's true.
So, anyways, there's that. What else?
Dan Bongino.
Yeah, man. What do you think?
Back in service. Because he used to be a fucking...
CIA.
Well, he used FBI? To be Secret Service.
Secret Service. He did a couple jobs.
Yeah.
So he got... I told you, I was like, I'm not going to remember what it is. So I'm looking at FBI Deputy Director.
Yep.
So he's underneath of old Cash Patel.
Yeah, second in command.
That's... Listen, I've said this on the show numerous times.
Big deal.
I'm not, like, the biggest fan of him. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think what he does is great work, all that stuff. That's cool. But I can't. I have a hard time listening to him. You know, that's just me. Like, there's a little, like, where he's just like, listen here, folks.
Well, yeah.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just fucking, it's a real sad day. It's just hard for me. I'm like, damn, dude, but like, give me a little, it's like a little downer. I don't want that downer, you know?
But he definitely is someone that, in that position, is going to know his shit.
Perfect. Yeah, no, me saying that, just because I don't necessarily love watching his show, he does have great information. He does talk about really, really, really important things. And with him, he knows people.
Yeah.
He's worked in these areas. He's been in those areas, especially with the Secret Service. We had all those discussions with Trump and the Secret Service. What better guy? Yeah. You know, he knew all that stuff. And so he has insight that is very, very good, knowledgeable insight. And I think in this particular role, and I'll say this, me just disliking his podcast, as the guy's super patriotic. He seemingly loves this country. And he's willing, as Cash is, to kind of expose things that need to be exposed. And I think that's what we need the most.
Well, yeah, I think his show proves that. He's not afraid to put it out there.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. If something is corrupt or something is not the way it's supposed to be, he doesn't have a problem saying it the way it is.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's all about the whole fucking transparency movement that's happening in our government right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no.
I'm for it. I think it's great. I think it's a perfect position for him.
It's cool, man. And I respect the fact that he seemingly is going to obviously step away from the podcast for a while.
Yeah.
The guy makes probably a lot of money doing that. And
I think I've seen a fucking thing he did. It was like a prologue to one the beginning of his show or something after he got put in that position. He said the business, he said, is going to continue. His wife's going to run it and everything, but him doing the show is going to be on hiatus or whatever.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's not going to go away, but like his show probably will not be the same for right now.
Yeah.
But my point is like he's making a lot of money, and it's the same thing that was talked about with Trump and many other people, right? You could just do what you do, make a lot of money, live nicely, and he's choosing to serve again. And I have a high level of respect for that.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of a no-brainer decision, right? Like if you were once in a position where he was Secret Service, he had a very important job to do, and then he retired, went into doing his own broadcasting, being on political analysts or whatever on news shows and doing his podcast, and then now going back into a position where he potentially has enough sway and an administration working with the right administration to almost effectively change a country. So I mean, it's almost a kind of a lifetime thing. Like,
it would be hard to turn that down.
Yeah, it'd be a no brainer. It's like a legacy move.
Yeah, I don't, you know, to me, like, I don't know about saying, like, a no-brainer, because I do feel like you can love your job, and at a certain age, you're like, I just want to relax. I want some time with family. Yeah. I want to do my thing now. Yeah.
He is going to get a lot of heat.
He's going to get a lot of heat. I don't think he's the guy of all people. I don't really see him being concerned with taking some heat.
No.
But again, I do very much respect the fact that he's willing to, even with all the positive things that's going on with his show and everything else now, the fact that he's willing to serve over that, I think, is a very important thing. It's very telling of him and how he feels about this country and maybe having some stuff go right. So those two, I really like that, man. I think with Pam Bondi, those two, the team that is being built right now and continuing to be built right now is it's a super team, dude. It really is kind of a super team. There's just a lot of people that want to get shit done. And I hope, though, that continues and that's what we see.
Well, and seemingly everyone being on the same page.
Yes, like, same goals.
Across all these different departments and all these different government organizations, everyone being implemented seems to be wanting the same things and wanting to head in the same direction. I'm not saying that was never the case before, but I feel like there were always variations of people that kind of had their own agenda or had their own kind of thing wanting to do. But I think it's looking like everyone being put into position kind of has, like you said, the same goals in mind, which is awesome.
Yeah, and
I love it. You couldn't ask for a better situation than that.
And I know they had asked Pam Bondi recently about the Epstein files and all that, and she said that it was on her desk waiting to be looked at. And so those things that we've talked about that we, you know, and I think it was the last show, I wasn't on the last show, but the show before where we were saying, like, listen, I'm okay with them taking some time. You know what I'm saying? I said that. I'm okay with this stuff. Let him build this team. And this is kind of what I was talking about with, you know, Bongino coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw there's another gentleman, I wish I remembered his name. He supposedly took a job, and he's also, you know, you see him on the internet and stuff, and I can't remember his name. I wish I could. But he got some job in the FBI as well. So there's some people that are recognizable that are coming in, and that's what I want Cash to do. Is I want him to build this group. I want them to come up with the plans and then release it when everything's ready to go.
Well, he's already refilling positions too, because he fired a bunch of people already.
He is, but see, my thing was, I'm okay at this point knowing it's like, listen, it's like me telling you this, man. I got $1,000 for you, right? And you're like, oh, that's, I get $1,000. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna give you $1,000, and I'm like, but I'm gonna give it to you in 3 months or 2 months, right? You're like, that's, I'm cool. I'm getting $1,000 in 2 months. Like, that's how I feel about the Epstein files and all the things. I'm like, I know it's coming now.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with waiting, knowing that it will be here. That's okay with me. But I want him to get that group of people around him that they can not just release the Epstein files, but actually go all the way. I want to see this go all the fucking way. We got 4 years, potentially more.
And that's always been the thing, right? You can always release it, but having the right people in the right positions to make anything of it is what needs to happen.
Yeah, you're going to have people that are going to be able to bob and weave all of the criticism that's going to come. And we know from Trump.
Well, not only that, but be willing to do something about it.
Yeah, but the reason that I don't think it's happened, other than being cowards and all the other names that you could call them, people like Trump is rare. Okay. You have a guy who can take all those literal bullets and all the criticism and have it bounce off of him and get bigger because of it.
Yeah.
That's not easy. That's not an easy thing to do. A lot of people, they start getting in their feels, they feel threatened, they hide. And Trump is one of those guys that seemingly just keeps getting bigger as these things start to pile on him. And I think with Cash, he seems like he has that same kind of characteristics. I think Bongino has that characteristic that he can let things reflect off of him and not take it a certain way and defend what he's talking about. And I guess that's what would be the right word, is you need people that know what they're talking about, that can defend when you have a hard question. They can. And that's why I think J.D. Vance actually is really good, because when they give him these hard questions, he's ready for it. He's giving you great answers. He's not deflecting all that much. And I think that's what we're seeing here, is building of a team that's willing to take those bullets for people. And I could not be more happy. I just want to make sure that we get there, because, again, we don't know what's going to be happening in 4 years. I'd like to think Trump does great things. I'd like to think that a next person, J.D. Vance or somebody else, comes in and can take over. And then you'd see Cash and those guys continue on. Obviously, if the Democrats win, they're probably not going to be there. They won't be there.
I bet they don't. I bet it's going to be a struggle for them for a while.
I think it's very likely, yeah.
Just because the percentage of the population that are kind of seeing through the bullshit,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily are 100% Trump or 100% Republican, but can just see the bullshit now.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be hard to get people under the blind again.
The one area that I think is the, and I'm with you, I don't really, I think some really serious, terrible things would have to happen for Trump to not leave a good mark for the next, right? I think there would have to be some really weird, bizarre things happen. But the one thing I'm concerned with is listen, the problem with Trump is he's willing to be real over the top with what he thinks is going to get done, right? Good and bad. He's like, we're going to be the best, always the best. And that's fine. That's cool. People like that. But we're in a bad spot from the last 4 years. Yeah. We were in a bad spot before, and Trump was moving us to the right direction, but then we got worse and things happened. Obviously, COVID happened. And now we had 4 years of Biden, and that was awful. And so my concern would be, if I'm speaking honestly, is that, like, is people going to get so hyped that all this stuff's going to happen? If it doesn't quite happen that same way, is it going to feel like a letdown for some people? Especially, I'm talking about, not us, but I'm talking about the people that are just jumping on the train that think he's going to be saving everything. Is there some kind of a letdown that it's not as much as they thought it was going to be? And is that going to be a turnoff? And I hope not. I hope he does the right things to make the economy better. You know, money in our pockets, taxes come down. And people will be very satisfied with that. And then J.D. Vance or whoever it is can walk right in and keep it going.
I can see that. But I also see things starting to happen very quickly now.
They are.
Especially now that all the main people are in the positions that they need to be in. I think the list of to-dos on Trump's to-do list, I think are going to start getting checked off a lot faster, because I think now he has the full roster in position. He was just talking about today about getting the pipeline going again.
Yeah.
And if he'd like the same company to come back and do it, but if they won't, then he's going to hire somebody else. And it's things like that, like not necessarily positions in the government to get things done, but just get things done within the country itself. I think a lot of things are going to start clicking off pretty quickly.
My criticism right now would be I would like to see him finish one of these things and move to the next thing. We're seeing a lot, to your point, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things happening, all really good.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see, though, is I would like to see over the next couple weeks, I'd like to see the focus be on something specific, whether that's Ukraine and Russia, right? Something like that.
He did mention today, too, that the Ukraine-Russia thing will be done probably next week.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully, right?
But which is funny because there was headlines just the other day saying that Zelensky's not going to sign anything. He disagreed to do any of that.
There wasn't.
But now all of a sudden, he's going to be coming to the White House and signing the agreement next week.
Yeah, who knows how that what backdoor kind of thing was happening, you know? And that's part of the process that, like, it's easy to criticize Trump for things, and but we don't know what's happening behind those doors.
Yeah, I don't know what the talks. I don't think anybody really knows who, unless people that are there.
There's just a lot. There's so much movement that it's a little bit hard. You're like, oh, there's this. This is kind of moving. This is moving forward. This is moving forward, and that's good. But it would be nice to get a really strong victory. And I'm not talking about the building the cabinet and those people. Those are victories.
Yeah.
Cash Patel getting the nomination, moving forward is a victory. All those things are victories. But if you could come out in the next week and say, Russia-Ukraine is over. The war is over. That's going to be headlines. That's going to be a win-win-win, right?
For sure.
A big win. Then you move to the Epstein release, or you move to whatever, like the economy. Let's talk about, you know, or interest rates or something, you know, something like that, where we all know that there's an issue.
Live stream in the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, something. Like, I want to see.
Or not Federal Reserve.
I want to see some, like, coordinated, like, this is what we're focusing on this week.
Yeah.
Or this, hey, for the next month, we're going to focus on this, and we're going to get it done in a month. We're going to get it fully done. Now, obviously, I understand that many pieces are moving. Certain people are dealing with them. You got Rubio over here dealing with them. I get it. But I want to see that big win, and that gives that momentum. I want to see his numbers go up even more. They're big, but I want to see an even stronger approval rating. You know what I mean? Shit.
I think that'll come, honestly. It's already going up, the approval rating. I think it's like 7 out of, or what did I see? 7 out of 10 people now approve of, like, the Doge thing now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get to a point, like, we're only, what,
a month and a half in? Yep.
So I think it's, like you said, there's a lot of different things happening at once. Yeah. I think we're going to get to a tipping point where things start clicking off, and they're going to start clicking off at the same pace.
I hope so. I hope so, because if you really, like, get yourself out of the fast movement that's happening right now, we started off with, we have Doge that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of information to intake. Right? It's a lot of information. But then you also, at the same time, right in the beginning, you had mass deportation starting.
Mm-hmm.
Have we even talked about that? Has that news even? Nope. And you know what I'm saying? But that was going on. And then there's Russia-Ukraine. That's going on. And then there's, you know, the people actually getting, you know,
in position.
Yeah. That's happening at the same time. Then there's
Guantanamo Bay opening up and going down, people getting sent down there.
Canada. I mean, so my point is like Doge, the border, and, you know, the border situation and the war are three huge fucking things.
Yeah.
And so it's really good to see all three things moving. But it would be cool for me. I would like to see, like, hey, we're going to get this border situation dialed in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, you're next, buddy.
I think it's pretty dialed.
Well, he just fired the ICE, or demoted the head of ICE, if I'm not mistaken. I read that he demoted him because it's not moving well enough. And so...
Oh, not the one guy.
Not him, but the actual head of... He's the border czar, but the head of ICE.
Oh,
Okay. My understanding, and I didn't dive into it too deep, but my understanding is he still has a role, but it's not the same role. And to what they were saying was Trump felt that it was not moving at the right pace. And
I think he feels that way about a bunch of stuff because he came out and told Musk that Doge needs to pick up the pace.
Well, and listen, here's what I'm going to say. I'll be critical of Trump right now. This is where I'll be critical, okay? When it comes to Doge and money, and we had this discussion, and in fact, I think it was Weinstein on Joe Rogan's podcast was talking about this a little bit. Mm. We brought it up on the show. When you're talking about money, it's easy to pick off those basic, obvious ones.
Yeah.
Money for fucking Sesame Street and fucking wherever. Dumb. Get that shit gone. But there's going to be a point with Doge where they're going to start having to really analyze programs that may or may not work. And I'm talking about not the obvious ones that are dumb, the easy ones. I'm talking about the ones that you actually have to sit down and you actually have to say, what is the return on this particular thing? Does it actually help citizens or does it not? Does it help American people or not? Because those are coming. And that's what Weinstein was talking about. He's like, it's going to be easy to lop off the top.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a question of does it help citizens or not? Because that could be funneled into the private sector very easily. I think it's going to be put into a question, is this a responsibility of the government or not?
I think you're going to have issues. I think, I can't say it any better than how he said it on the show. And when he said it, I was like, I agree with you a little bit on this. And the point was, we are a country that is willing to help people. We are a country that are willing to take our taxes and put them towards things.
Good deeds
and people that are down on their luck or even just helping people move forward that we know in the long run that they have a better chance of making more money and for paying more taxes and other things, right? So if we can give them a leg up a little bit, like helping small businesses, for example, knowing that they can become more successful, more taxes come in, more people are hired, more people are getting paid. That's a nice crack. All those things are good. What we can't do is we can't get so happy with just cutting every single thing that we just start cutting stuff that actually may be good use of money, right? And that's kind of a little liberal way of saying it, in a sense.
True, but I would say cut it and then evaluate.
Well, so
stop all the bleeding.
Yeah.
And then evaluate, is this worth it? Is this worth it? Is this worth it? And then you can start it right back up.
Listen, I'm 50-50, and I'm kind of neutral on it. Because I'm with you in the sense that like I almost feel like you kind of have to cease it all and then redo it. But we also do know that in general, not talking about Trump's administration per se, but in general, some of these things are hard to get back. You know how slow the government moves in most aspects. And again, I'm not talking about Trump's administration and how fast it's moving, but I'm talking about putting money into things. It just takes a long fucking time, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that you have to necessarily just sweepingly cut everything.
Well, and that's true what Bannison says in here, that Doge was actually given a deadline of July 4th next year.
Of next year.
Yeah.
I think that's good. But at the end of the day, all I'm trying to say is there are programs that are good. There are good programs.
Well, yeah, there are good programs.
But what you need to do is like office space. You need to call them in the office. And
that's
and
what they just did.
They just did it. They said, what have you done this last week? But that's not enough for me.
They're not going to get anybody to respond. But at the same time, if they said in the thing, if you don't respond, then you don't show up.
Listen, what I would do if I was that man, what I would do is I would say, who asked to put this together? Who's running this program, right? The head of it. I don't want all the other bullshit. I want the head of this program, the one that is taking charge of this.
Yeah.
Sit them down and you say, listen, here's the deal. You know we're cutting. You know we're looking at everything.
What have you accomplished?
Give me 10 minutes of why you think this is worth it and what you've done in those past however long that's been here. And if they can sit there and say, listen, man, we've actually built this. We've helped this many people.
And how much money have you spent doing what you've accomplished?
Yeah. And show where that, if you got the receipts to prove that, like, yeah, it cost me $3 billion, but we did X, Y, and Z. And here's the proof that we did it.
Yeah.
If you can sit down and you can say that works and they can kind of did a quick analysis of it and realize that it works, move on. Move on to the next. Because there's going to be so many things that are going to be problematic. We don't need to be hung up on those. Now, that's not to say we can't come back in a year and reevaluate. Give them, okay, that one sounds fair, sounds decent. Yeah. We're going to come back next year and see if you've made improvements. You know what I'm saying? We're going to see if this is a dying thing or if this is an upward trend. You know, are you doing more or is this kind of plateauing? If it's plateauing, maybe we need to do something different.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see the excitement of everything happening just implode everything. Because if you cut those programs, I want to be honest, I think that some of those, there might be people that would, you know, I'm not talking about the people running it, but the people that are receiving that, maybe that hurts really bad. Maybe they don't get that thing, or maybe they're already planning on building a new business or whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah.
The money's gone and everything falls apart. I don't want to see unnecessary collapsing of citizens. I'm not talking about politicians, but of citizens, right? Unless it's complete shit. If it's complete shit, we just move on.
I mean, yeah. I don't want to see that either. Mm. But at the same time, it's got to be fucking taken under control.
It does. 100%. So, I mean, 100%.
That'd be the hard thing, right? Like, could you live with some temporary hard times to be able to fix what the fucking initial problem is in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I don't know.
Or, maybe. Maybe you say, if it's not in America, it's immediately killed. If it's not America-driven, like if it's not for the citizens of America. If
the funds for the program aren't going into American...
Then we cut it immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because I want to make sure...
That's basically what they did with the USAID.
Yes. And so you get rid of everything that's going out. Everything that's going somewhere else needs to be stopped immediately. They have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And give it time, and then we can evaluate those over the next couple months. But just cut them all. But yeah, the ones that are like local-driven... Maybe you let those run and you figure out what's going on and really start analyzing them. But I'm saying
that would fall right into the whole America First thing.
It would. Sure. But my point is there are so many programs that, like, you could get hung up just with USAID. You could get hung up on that for a long time. Cut all the crap right off the bat and say, we're watching it up. We cut all, you saw what we did. We can cut yours just as much, right? So you better figure this shit out over the next 6 months. We're coming back to you. Let's go to the Pentagon. Cut all that bullshit.
That one's going to be insane.
I know, but I'm saying you're going to see the same thing.
That has the biggest budget in the entire government. Yep.
But
what
I think...
$900 billion budget?
I bet you it's more. I bet you it's more than that even.
It's probably more.
But the same thing can be said, I think. I bet you when it comes out, you're going to look at stuff and you're going to go immediately. Like, there's no even thinking about it. No having to talk. You're going to go, well, that's stupid. Whatever it is, you're going to be like, that's fucking stupid.
What
waste of money.
What are you doing?
And then there's going to be stuff that's like, I don't know what that is. Let's figure that one out. But that stupid shit needs to be lopped off.
Oh, yeah. And how many billions are going to be saved just doing that from the Pentagon?
Probably a lot.
Probably a lot. How much stupid shit are we doing in other countries that maybe in the interest of people in the Pentagon or the CIA or fucking some government agency, but not in the interest of the country itself?
Yeah. There's going to be a lot.
There's going to be a lot.
So that's a positive. I'm excited about that. I want to make sure that we, you know, just flow with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't get so excited to axe it all, because I don't know if that benefits us as a whole, just to axe everything right off the bat. It's the bull in the china shop phase.
Well, we're
you know
not, though.
We're not.
We're leaving bare bones to most of these.
We're not. But I have, you know, when you get on social media and when you watch other people's reactions to certain things and you realize that some people are angry that more is not being destroyed. And I'm like, I get you. I get the sentiment behind it. I understand that, like, we need this, even though it's uncomfortable. We need it.
Yeah.
But also, let's try to be prepared and organized and well done here, because you know there's going to be combating. There's going to be judges that are going to halt things. They're going to be suing over certain things. And, you know, just going and tearing it up. I want them to tear it up, and I want them to do it in a way where they can defend it also when they go to court, because they will on some of these. I mean, we saw even with Hochul.
Yeah.
Trump axed the idea of the taxing or the $9 fucking entering New York City bullshit.
Oh, yeah, now they're fighting him over it.
And he axed it, and now she's suing for her constituents to pay $9. Like, how weird is that?
Yeah, that's real weird.
Like, Trump's already gained
in
New York.
And if you are in New York, how are you not like, what fucking, wait a second here?
There's a lot of people that are. And that's the thing, is like whole system was crap.
Fuck Trump. I want to pay $9 because there's traffic on the road. Fuck that.
Unfortunately, I think there are people that are so absorbed into this ideology. They go, well, listen, I don't like it either, but it's the only way we can do this. We got too much congestion, too much smog. There's too much fucking. And that's dumb. It's dumb, dude. Because what
it's
doing.
It's not the only way. Because what is that $9 actually doing?
Well, listen, I think that's the point of this whole thing. At the end of the day, exposing what USAID did and what the Pentagon does. And let's just say what the government does with taxes. And then Hochul does this, you should go, okay, So you're getting $9. Okay, first of all...
Well, do it. Do it, Hulcho. Show them what the $9 is doing. Do it.
Yeah, and they're going
to... Prove him wrong.
And they're going to go...
We actually haven't done anything yet.
Well, I think it was...
we're just collecting all this.
Oh, man, I wish I knew who it was. I want to say Rand Paul, but I don't think it was him. But the point was is that there was not a single study done about this, right? About the congestion, about...
Oh, yeah.
So the idea was is, okay, if there was no studies done and there's no information about it, then why $9? Why not $4? Like, why does it have
$100?
Why not? Why not $1? You know what I'm saying? Like, the point is why is 9 the number? Because there's nothing that says, well, listen,
because
guys.
Because it's an upside down 6.
Oh. Okay, Greg. Yeah, who knows? I'm just saying, why not?
You get 3 of those lined up. I mean,
maybe. I know. They just like seeing it. You know what I mean? There's no reason to have it be 9. That's the ultimate point. If she would have came out, let's say
this. Well, it was higher than that, wasn't it? And then she was bragging about 15. How she's saving people money because she brought it down to 9.
I want to say it was 15 initially. But you're
killing.
You're
saving people money.
You're killing it,
down to
9,
but it was 0.
You're telling citizens who already pay insane taxes, bro, they can't go into their city.
One of the most expensive places in the country.
Yes, and they can't go into their city. To go shop, they have to pay $9 to go downtown.
Even enter the place?
Yeah. And they're like, well, we want people to take public transportation. Well, the public transportation system in New York, hello, you're gonna get stabbed.
You might die.
Fuck.
$9, you might die.
How about you, listen, you come up with some real proposals, man. Listen, guys, here's the $9. It sucks. We get it. But that $9 is going to go to XYZ, and we think we can get it done. At least you get some people on board. I was watching Squid Games. We started watching that last night.
I have never seen it.
We watched like two or three episodes maybe or something like that. And I'm like, you know, I told my wife, there was nothing on. Netflix sucks right now, but there was nothing on. And I was like, let's just watch episode. Greg said he's really enjoying it. Let's watch it. And it's good. It's fun. But they're in South Korea.
Yeah.
That's where it takes place. And you do get over the English subtitle, like the English dubbing. It's not good. I'm just going to be honest with you. It just never is good.
I can't, every time, every time I see a trailer for something and I'm like, it starts off and there hasn't been any dialogue yet, but it's like, I'm like, oh, this looks like it might be fucking good. Fuck yeah. And then they start talking and it's like, hello.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do it.
Now, listen, I'll say this. I'm with you. It's an immediate shutoff for me. I know there's movies like The Parasite that got critical, won awards, like the film of the year and shit.
Yeah.
I won't even try. I'm not even going to be like, I'm not going to entertain it. Squid Games, we were bored. Now, I'll say this. I did watch the new Godzilla movie that came out, Godzilla Year One or whatever the hell is, Zero, whatever.
I don't know.
And it's all English dub, overdubbed. And I will say that about 10 minutes in, I was fully engulfed and I was like, I'm totally not even paying attention to his mouth moving. It was just good. It was actually really good.
Okay.
This one, the first episode, I'm getting it. Second episode, I was like, okay, I'm over that. It's fine. I'm fine now. But it's still, there's parts that happen. You're just like, what? Like, there's an old woman, his mother. She's old.
Yeah.
And the voice sounds like a 20-year-old. Hey, I don't even know his name, but Billy, what are you doing right now? Huh? Why are you doing this? And I'm like, that is not a grandma. They don't even try to do the things that the person's doing. Like, if he's eating ramen, you know what I'm saying?
It's just quiet.
And you're not like, well, like chewing food and have food in your mouth. You're just speaking clear as fuck. And you're like, but he's eating ramen. Why, how is he such perfect English right now? That kind of stuff's annoying.
Yeah.
That's annoying. But the point I was trying to say was it's filmed in South Korea. We know that South Korea, there's a lot of technology there and they've made vast improvements. South Korea is there's a lot of beautiful areas. But on the subway trains, in the film, when you get up to the subway train, there's a wall.
Okay.
That goes across, and a sliding door opens, and then you can step onto the sliding door of the train. Like the trains have the doors.
Okay.
There's a whole wall with glass, so you can see the train come up, and those doors open, and it opens right into the door of the train.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I'm watching that, going, why do they have that? Why don't we have that? Like, we have people all the time getting pushed into trains.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Pushed onto the tracks. It's unsafe as
fuck. Why wouldn't there just be like a plexiglass barrier?
It's a whole wall that they built, and it has plexiglass windows, and they have opening. I'm like, okay, so the reason I bring that up is because we were talking about public transportation. I'm like, listen, say that $9. Hey, guys, we're going to make the public transportation safer. We're going to put walls up so that nobody falls, so there's no incidents happening. do shit to clean it up. People might actually be okay with it if you can see real tangible shit happening.
You have said a lot of shit like that. I've made the argument a lot about fucking the power lines and telephone lines and all that shit. Like, why can they not be underground? Why the fuck are we replacing poles and fixing down lines after storms and all this shit when you can run everything underground?
Yeah.
And then every so often put a fucking receptacle box or fucking whatever where they all come up. And if you have to change something, you can disconnect them and replace only that one section or whatever.
Yeah.
It would make everything look nicer.
For the most part.
It would save so much time and money on replacing shit. Like, especially around here, like, there's so many places I go around where the poles are just leaning over the fucking road.
I think they do it on purpose in some aspects. I'm so convinced that they do it on purpose. Because we drive around. We just drove downtown. Not downtown, but pretty close to downtown. I'm looking down the street. I'm like, every pole is like this. And I'm like, okay, so that's either a windstorm or do they do that on purpose?
Because, for what reason?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just say get away from the fucking all the lines above our heads.
I'm with you.
Everywhere. And it could be done easily.
I don't know about easily.
Could be done easily. You could dig a ditch, bury some line.
Yeah.
When you're done for the day, you just hook that line up to the pole that's still there. Oh, you want to continue the next day? Okay, boom, 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 boom. Just boom, boom.
But see, you're thinking logically. You're thinking about a logical, like, hey, we could do this easily.
It could be done.
I know, but the problem is that we have such a fucking messy, even local. Like, go just drive. Listen, I'm not saying one's better than others, but we've been in multiple cities, right? Yeah. Just go watch the fucking city workers do shit. And you're just like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, what are we doing right now? There's 9 guys. One guy with a shovel.
Yeah.
There's 9 dudes. You know that the process is going to be much longer and unnecessary. And it's going to cost way more than it should. And listen, there's a lot of
lines. I feel like you'd be able to do some kind of fucking thing where you could sign some kind of infrastructure bill where you have the fucking Corps of Engineers and National Guard and all that shit come out and fucking do it, and everything gets, or you hire contractors, mm-hmm. and everything gets done in fucking a year.
Here's how I think that, if
probably
you're
not a
talking
year.
About it, here's how I think that you could do it and have it be reasonable. We saw this with we see that there's the fiber optic cables now for internet and shit. Mm-hmm.
They're all on the ground.
So the new communities that are being built, a lot of them are installing those as, it's like the new mandate, right? If you build a new community, this has to be installed now.
Yeah.
And as it grows, we're in an area, obviously you guys don't know where this is at, but we're in an area where it's arguably
growing rapidly.
This is the fastest growing area. Some were saying in the country, but in Texas, this is one of the fastest growing areas is the area that we're in.
Yeah.
There's new shit going all over the place, man. It's just developing, and there's lots of where we're at north. There's plenty of fucking land to go.
Of room.
I mean, it is open season, dude. You can do whatever the fuck you want. All the communities that are being built have these stipulations. They have to have X, Y, and Z. So let's start with that. All new places have to have underground cables put in.
Fiber optic cables.
No, I'm talking about electricity.
Oh.
All the new shit has to have underground shit. You can tie it into the poles
there. Because I don't see them in your community either.
Oh. Yeah, so you tie them in. And you build it starting from that point, right? So that means that everything going forward will be underground. Now you have this stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is if there was a way to actually tie those into the poles that are already existing temporarily even, I would just say with the amount of storms that we have here, I'm just using Texas or Houston as an example, with the storms, the flooding, the fucking, you know, the tornadoes that happen every once in a while, every time that a line goes down, you say...
It's a fucking month with 100,000 people without power.
No, well, yes, in some aspects. Depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when you replace those lines, everything replaced going forward has to be underground.
Yeah, why not?
And then you just say, so what you'll see is you'll see some, and then they'll be underground.
And then it'll just go boom into a fucking...
And then over time, with all the storms that we do naturally have, you'll just see them slowly disappear.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be so fucking
easy. You don't need to do a mass deportation of poles. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're all going back. All you guys are going back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'd save a lot of money in poles, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of good
lumber,
wood, man.
That lumber's not cheap.
That's what they should say. For every 10 poles, we can build 2 houses. You know, it's not literal, but I'm just saying, like, all these poles will build small communities for the people that need help.
Yeah, I bet each one of those poles, you could probably get 6 or 7 2x4s, or No, you probably get probably close to 32x4s out of, if not more.
I would think so. I mean, it would take a lot of poles, but there are a lot of poles.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking poles.
A lot of pole. You know what I'm saying?
And long ones.
Yeah, dude. Big. Sturdy poles.
Some are real
dark. And they're leaning. They're leaning to the left, too. Lean to the right. You know what I'm saying? But listen, there's things that you could do. I'm with you. There's no reason not
to. There's a bunch of stupid shit like that that could be done. And maybe it will be done. Like you said, there are communities that are already implementing that kind of shit. So maybe that'll move its way into the normal fucking cityscape.
Yeah. When you look around,
how we got on this topic.
I don't know. But when you look around here, it's pretty rad, dude. And I think we take it for granted. Because it was exciting when we got here, when we were driving around, especially in the Woodlands and shit. And I've always thought, I love the Woodlands. I love the area. But what's so cool about it is that they have, did you know that, and this is a fact I just learned about, the Woodlands here, right? This is arguably one of the best communities in America. It got voted as the best suburb in America. Okay?
I didn't hear about that. Except it floods all the time.
Parts of it do. Certain parts on the east side do absolutely do. But it's a beautiful place. There's a lot of trees. It's a lot of cool shops. A lot of great food. Very safe for the most part. It's very safe, right? But they McDonald's, they weren't allowed to build a McDonald's in the Woodlands until McDonald's agreed that they would not put an arch up. Did you know that?
Oh, why? Because it's...
It breaks the code. So if you go down into the Woodlands, if you haven't been there, I know everybody hasn't probably, but when you go into the Woodlands, what's really cool about it is you drive down any of the roads to get there, and it's about, I don't know, 20 minutes from us, 25 minutes from us, but you can take the side streets all the way down, some of the little tiny roads, and the whole thing is covered in trees. And there's businesses right behind those trees, but they have this ordinance where there has to be so many trees and for the most part, you can't see the businesses from the road. So when you're driving, you'll drive and you'll see this little sign on the side of the road and it'll say U.S. Bank, you know, and you're like, oh, that's the bank. So you pull in and you go inside and all of a sudden behind it, it's all the shops and all the things.
Yeah.
But you can't see it. So it's like nature. You're surrounded by nature, even though there's tons of things around you. The arch at McDonald's, they didn't want it up. They said that we're not going to let you put a McDonald's in the Woodlands. And Woodlands is not small.
No.
You're not going to be allowed to put with an arch because you're going to see it in the trees and you're not allowed to have it. So they built one with no arch. There's no tall thing with the fucking McDonald's thing. And listen, I think that's cool, man, because when we're here, and that's what I was talking to Rollback, you take that stuff for granted. You don't see the power lines. We don't have a lot of power lines, like especially over where we're at. And when you're just looking outside, you just don't see wires and you don't see big old poles. You just see trees. There's nothing in the distance that's like, we have the water towers, you know, and that's fine. But when you're driving to the Woodlands, you're just like, there's just no shit. There's not a bunch of shit all over the place. Yeah. Not a bunch of signage. Now on the highway is a different story.
That's different.
That's a fucking all the way down, dude. They call it the billboard capital of the world is Houston. There's so many billboards, man.
There's a lot.
But I don't know how we got there.
I don't know how we got on that topic either.
Just cleaning shit up, you know?
I mean, that's the whole focus of everything.
Dude, I got one for you. What time is it?
We got a few minutes.
Damn. I really wanted to do Dave's TikTok, but I was going to say, you know what Pam Bondi is?
Do I know how old she is?
Yeah, you know how old she is?
No.
I saw this thing pop up, and I said, well, that can't be right. She's fucking right here. 59 years old, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I did not know. She looks
good.
She looks good. She's almost 60.
Yeah.
November, she'll be 60. I know. Yeah. They showed this thing that, like, Gen X is taking over the government because they had, like, all the dates of when they were born.
Yeah.
Bongino and Cash and Hagseth. And I'm like, and then she's in there and it said, like, 1967 or something. And I'm like, what?
What?
What the fuck? It's like not much younger than older than my mom, dude. Okay.
What do you got here?
I got some dumb ones, but I just wanted to do this, man. I just wanted to... Oh. Dave's TikTok. Nice, dude. Doesn't happen enough.
Yeah.
None of these are really that political, and I kind of want to keep it that way for right now.
That's fine.
This one is kind of political, but if you go down, there you see that little Honda.
This one.
Somebody caught Joe Biden driving a car.
That's fucking... Oh.
That's fucking Joe Biden.
Okay.
They caught Joe Biden driving a Honda around some parts of something. And this dude looks just like Joe Biden, bro.
He does look just like Joe Biden. That's fucking funny, dude.
Like the ears, the hair.
Huh.
If you saw that man.
That's a body double, dude.
It has to be.
That's one of his body doubles.
It has to be.
That's got to be one of his body doubles.
Dude, play the fucking audio. This guy's just like, no fucking way. I know there's some music, but fuck it, dude.
Bro, is that Joe Biden? Bro, I swear to God. What the fuck?
He looks lost, even.
Yeah.
Joey! He's like, Daddy Joe! What are you doing driving a fucking Honda, bro?
What's a Lamborghini?
I love it, dude. You're right. I think you might be
that
right. You might
be a body double.
That's a curse. I got to be honest with you. If that was you.
To be the doppelganger of Joe Biden.
That's not a good
that
thing.
That would be bad.
That's not a good thing.
Then you might get mistaken for him and get like shit on for no reason.
Yeah. There's somebody fucking wants
like,
to beat
somebody
your
real
ass.
Really hates you and you get like a milkshake thrown at you or something.
Yeah. Just yells like, quit sniffing air, Joe. And you're like, what the fuck, man? My name's Don. What are you doing, man?
I'm not Joe.
Golly. Okay. What do we got here? Let's do. Have you ever this one? This one's just funny. No, go up one. This one's just funny to me. We always tell my daughter's a sloth. We always tell her she's slothy, dude. Mm. You know what I mean? Because she just fucking slowly gets off a chair. Have you ever seen a sloth poop?
I have not seen a
sloth. You can't really see it actually pooping. But I didn't know that they shoot pellets. Look at this fucking this guy.
But they always look so happy.
They are. That's the best part of this video. he's in the water. For you that are listening on the audio, the sloth is but hovering over the water, and you can see all the kernels. And watch his face. Look at that. He's so stoked, bro.
Oh, man. I mean, that's what I look like when I drop a good one, too.
You know what's funny is what you know when you see like other countries and they all have different ways of pooping? You know, like the squat method where you just poop in a hole? A lot of the... you know, a lot of the India and stuff or some of those countries or even in Japan and stuff where they have the you put your feet
stand
on the toilet
on the seats, yeah.
And you squat down.
Or like in Mexico when they don't put the toilet paper in the toilet.
They put it in the trash can.
They put it in the trash can.
I've heard that.
They do. Yeah, and it happens up here a lot too.
Yeah.
I've seen it in like Myanmar stores and stuff. They're like,
that's rough.
It's not good.
But the point is that there's many different ways. And some argue that squatting is the best way. I think it looks dumb. I don't like it, but I'm saying I understand the principle behind it.
Isn't that, they have a stool for it. It's called like a potty buddy or something, right?
Yeah.
Where it like hikes your legs up so you're more of a squatting position.
But you can actually buy toilets that have porcelain padding on the side. Like the porcelain, because you put your feet on it.
Oh.
And you just fucking.
They have like, has like foot pegs.
It's like a fucking heavy duty thing. It has to be, right? Because some of these guys, I'm a big guy.
Or stirrups. Yeah.
But my point is we've heard, you know, like that position of the body gets the most poo out.
Apparently it straightens everything out.
Yeah. Like, get a nice dumping of, what if we find out that every bathroom should have a stripper pole and you should just get on the stripper pole. Right.
And you just have a huge smile on your face.
And strippers are like, oh my God, I have the best shits because of this very thing. Look at this guy.
He's so happy.
He's so happy, dude. You don't have to put your feet down. You just let your butt hover over. And here's the thing. This is a kind of a built-in bidet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could literally, you don't have to have a spray. You can just. You can
I always hate that, though.
Oh, I don't.
When you get one that's, like, cut off early and it kaplunks in and then it splashes you in your butthole, I don't really care for that.
No, that sucks. But, like, a bidet, I think, would be really cool.
How is it different?
Because to me, it's like you're ready for it. You're like, okay, I'm ready to spray this thing. I know it's coming. When you poop and it splashes your butt, you're just like, whoa.
Come on.
Yeah, dude. And like, who just licked the butthole?
That's true.
It's different. It's a little different. All right. So I got that. That was pretty good. Let's do. I got a couple more. So let's rapid fire these motherfuckers. Okay. Let's do her first.
This one?
This is good. This is a guy that's talking to this woman. And she's asked about Elon Musk.
Okay.
And like... She finds out where he's from, and she panics a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not the funniest, but it's pretty good, dude.
Right now, what would you tell him?
Go back where you come from.
America? Or?
Where he came from.
South Africa?
South Africa?
South Africa, right?
Oh, gotta go.
It's so good, dude.
What the fuck?
Tell him go back where he came from. And he goes, America? You mean South Africa? She's like, South Africa. Gotta go.
Dude, it's so good. That's a good way to exit. Like, it's, that'd be the funniest fucking thing, especially if you're in an argument with somebody and you end up completely fucking wrong. You're just like, gotta go.
Yeah. Like, I did what? Oh, I gotta go. Gotta go.
Fuck, yeah.
I like that, man.
Good time.
Dave, your work performance has not been doing well, and we caught you on camera. Caught me on camera?
Oh, boom. Actually, gotta go, man.
Gotta go. See you later. Not coming back.
Cat. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good, dude. And let's see. I got this one here, this dinosaur one. This one cracks me the fuck up, dude.
This?
Nope.
Where?
Up the top, second one.
Oh.
This person made this video, and it says, if you click on it, I got to see what it says here. It says, legit, never seen a more hilarious, unintimidating adaptation of a T-Rex.
Oh.
Okay. It's 2 minutes long, so we're going to skip forward a little bit, okay? And I'll tell you where to go. But what this is from a TV show. It's got, I think it's got, if I'm not mistaken, a British, you know, where they're like, and the T-Rex, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's talking about T-Rex mating dances, all right? Like how...
T-Rex mating.
Yeah, how they get the old punani, you know what I'm saying? Like the male T-Rex is going to dance for the female, and she's bigger than him, right? Because the females are bigger, apparently. But I want you to take notice of something. The T-Rexes in this adaption look kind of funny. They don't look as cool as like Jurassic Park, right? So there's that to start with. We're like, well, these are funky. But this dance, we're getting here. I'm getting here. He's doing his dance and he's spinning and they show what they think he does. But there's a part where he gets kind of gay a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It's a little like... Hey boys, like it's a little like that. It's a little like that.
All right.
So go ahead and just skip forward. Okay. Just skip forward. So this is what they look like. This is what they say.
Okay.
They
look like. Those look pretty good.
They're not that intimidating. There's no Jurassic Park, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I'd be terrified if I saw that in the wilderness.
Okay, so go forward maybe 20 seconds or 30 seconds. We gotta get this going here. Keep going. Okay, here we go. So.
Okay. Okay.
So, she's watching him.
No. Somehow he was.
Turn the shit up, dude.
Oh, he bows.
Yep. Tail up. He's showing that butthole. You know what I'm saying?
And he may only get this one chance.
Right here, dude. It's coming. I think the guy that's calling this is like, right here, bro. Watch this. Watch this.
Are they going to dock each other?
No. Trust me, this is worth it, dude. Here it goes. Here it goes. Hey, boys! Look at those little arms, dude! Jazz hands!
No way! That's not real, dude. Come on!
Look at those things. What the fuck, dude?
I'm swaying my useless fucking goes, hands everywhere. Like, what is going on? No,
and he goes,
that's not. Come on.
Look at this shit.
You can't do the fucking T-Rex dirty like that.
Dude, they did it so dirty to it.
Like, he's supposed to be the most terrifying fucking prehistoric animal there is.
Cut it. This chick's laughing. It's making me laugh.
They're supposed to be the most terrifying prehistoric animal there is. You can't just let him wave his arms like that.
Dude.
Come on. And they were chubby even.
And they're purple. They're like little fucking dick arms.
They're like...
Oh my God.
Like he's waving his peacock feathers.
Oh my God. The best thing is just when he goes like... He comes up. And he goes... Ta-da! And he's got
like
these
he
little,
was hiding him the whole time.
He's got these little. It's almost like my strong.
Like
arm.
they were fucking hidden. And then he goes, ah.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, such big biceps you have. And he's like, but tell me that's not a little gay. It's a little bit like.
I mean, come on.
Hey, you know what I mean? The jazz hands part where she says the jazz hands. I'm like, that's jazz hands, dude. That's terrible.
They didn't do that.
That's what if they did? I'm just hypothetical. But hear me out. We have this preconceived notion that these things are gigantic. Terrifying beast. Like Jurassic Park T-Rex is terrifying, dude. Yeah. If you saw that, you'd be like, what the fuck is that thing, right? First of all, that thing doesn't look the same. It's a little fat.
That's a different than T-Rex. I think that's... Van would know what it's called.
They said that's T-Rex, dude.
That wasn't T-Rex. Doesn't have the little horn.
I think they talk about it though. I think if you listen, they talk about the female T-Rex is much bigger than. Okay, point being though is if they did that, talk about changing the course of history. To me, that makes that animal no longer like what kind of every kid's like what kind of dinosaur you want to be. It's like T-Rex, man. Yeah. They should update Jurassic Park. If they find out that's real, they should that chase scene.
They should do a new Jurassic Park where instead of like, well, in those chase scenes, they're trying to eat the things. But they should do a funny scene where it's like, it sees like this really big dude, and they're like, oh.
I think the best thing would be when that scene in the dark, where they're driving in the back of the fucking Wrangler, and the thing's chasing them down the road, and it's just going like this. Hey boys, I'm gonna eat you up. You know what I mean? Like, think of all the things you could do with that.
You're immediately not scared anymore.
Yeah, I think Jurassic Park would. I think this would do well. Come out with your fucking 30th anniversary, whatever's coming up, 35, whatever it is, and then now I'm seeing myself do that. That's really dumb. And then say, hey guys, just so you know, we updated T-Rex to be more correct, authentic.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know.
Well, they actually think that most of the dinosaurs had feathers now.
Oh my god, dude!
So they were actually more. There's a theory that they were more bird-like now, which would be even weirder.
That'd be really terrifying. Now that would be actually terrifying.
Like if you had a huge T-Rex that also resembled a chicken.
Well, here's the thing, though. The I think what's throwing me off with that is the beaks. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't seem.
Well, you don't have to have a beak if you have feathers, right?
No, not well.
Well, you do now, but you don't. Maybe you didn't then.
Maybe not.
Or maybe those were more like beaks, and they mistaken them.
I don't know, dude. Because I just feel like you look and like when you see like the different dinosaurs, at least what they tell us they are, you could see a beak. You know what I'm saying? But either way, if they had feathers, just even if it was like sporadic feathers, it'd be kind of weird, dude. It'd be pretty bizarre. Well, yeah, because
it's more scary if you see like if you see a normal bird with like patches and sporadic feathers, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah. What's that one bird? It's like tall as fuck.
Like a vulture?
No, it's like a. Oh my goodness.
It's got like a flamingo?
No. Just look it up real quick. Most terrifying bird.
Oh.
It's like 4 feet tall, and it's got the fucking big old. Things and a stand, it looks mean as fuck, dude. What is that bird? I keep thinking a booby, but it's not a booby. I think that thing's extinct. There it is, dude. Yep.
What, this one?
Yeah, dude. Look at that motherfucker. That thing's 4 feet tall, dude. Fuck off.
That's 4 feet tall. Oh, shit.
What's that called?
I don't know. I don't know what that's
Get out called. Of this and go back to that. Just look up, see, because I want you to. I know we got to go in a minute, but.
The shoebill stork.
Yeah, yeah. So go on to like the TikTok or whatever you have open and just look up shoebill stork. Okay. And they clack their fuck. They go like. Like, and it's so loud and it's scary. I'm not going to lie to you. If I saw that thing, it's a thing of nightmares, dude. Like, fuck that bird. I love it. It's cool looking, but I'm just saying fuck that thing if it's around you. No, go to my TikTok. You got it open?
Yeah.
Yeah, hit that and then go to the search thing and just look up shoebill. What is it called? A shoebill stork?
Yeah.
Yeah, look that thing up, dude. Come on, Jamie. Do this one. Do that third one. See that guy? So this maybe 4 feet. I mean, that's probably what, 3.5 feet maybe?
That is a big ass bird.
Look, yeah, dude, yeah, play this one though. Look at how he.
Okay, hang on a second.
Is there music on this shit?
Yeah.
God. See if it does the clacking with the music. Right here. See if it. Yeah, fuck that thing, dude.
That's what he said. Duff. That's what he said, right? He said, ah, fuck that thing.
That thing's majestic, bro.
I don't know. I don't know if majestic is the right word.
It is. It doesn't look. Like when
it doesn't look real.
It doesn't look real. And like, there's very few things nowadays. Kind of like
the liger.
Yeah. But you get that like with an octopus. Every time I see an octopus, we've talked about it before, but you see it and you're just like, man, that doesn't.
Well, because those are aliens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. You go, that doesn't seem like earthly. Like, this thing seems prehistoric in all different
aspects. Probably is, dude. There's a lot of things that were around then that are still around now, like fucking alligators and shit.
But go back to the other video real quick. Like that first one where he's walking out and shit.
This one?
Yeah, do that one. Like his legs are pretty fucking skinny. He's got to work those things out. But the point is look at him.
Matt, those are the sounds of a. Yeah.
That's fake.
I don't think so, dude.
I think that's fake.
Is it fake?
I think so.
Go to a different.
It didn't match his beak movement.
Did it? Yeah, he's doing
it. Oh, it did.
Yeah, it sounds.
Oh, fuck.
It sounds like a fucking mass shooting every time he comes in the door, dude.
Yeah, fuck that thing.
I'm just saying, think of this. Well, we can end it. I get it. But think of this. You're out in the woods by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear mass shootings happening around you. And it's just a bird.
Where are those things from?
They're from prehistoric times, my friend. But look at some of those. Some of these photography shots of this bird, it's so freaking crazy, dude. They have such an evil looking. That one right there, dude. Those two up there.
Uganda. They're found in countries like South Sudan, Uganda, Zambia, and Tanzania.
I'm just saying.
So most of the places you would never go.
No, you probably wouldn't be there. But if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. But when we went to the Dallas Aquarium, I know that sounds weird because it's an aquarium, but they have actually animals there too. But the Dallas Aquarium, I think, actually has one. And when we went, I remember seeing the sign and the facility.
So these are not gunshots?
No, they just said like the shoe bill. And I was like, yes, I want to see this thing so bad, but they didn't have it out. I'm positive they have one. I could be wrong, but I want to see one someday. I do. Anyways.
It'd be real weird.
Yeah, dude. So, fuck. I don't know, man. I don't know where to even... I don't even know where to go right now. I will say this, man. I hope that T-Rex does not look like that.
That's not real. I will never believe that.
That's a downgrade of all downgrades, man.
I will always believe... The original fucking Jurassic Park T-Rex. That's how it is.
Yep.
The most accurate representation. And anything other than that is gay.
Chris said it best, folks. Happy Monday to you all. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for hanging out with us, guys. We got a show on Wednesday. We should all be here Wednesday. And we have our show on Friday night as well.
Yeah, buddy.
So enjoy your week. Stay busy at work. And yeah, we'll see you Wednesday.
See you guys later.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.